This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezriel for our first story. It's the unsolved question to Dr. Mahathir Mohamad or Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. This, of course, refers to Pakatan Harapan's disagreements on their PM candidate, which they were supposed to announce last week. Today, we're going to look at how this crucial issue will affect Pakatan and the political landscape moving forward.
Yeah, and so to quickly recap, PKR have chosen Dato' Sri Anwar, while DAP and Amanah want Tun M with Anwar as his deputy, and this would last for 6 months before Anwar takes over as prime minister. So while PKR leaders don't trust Tun M to stick to the timeline, DAP and Amanah say that this time it's different. They'll make sure that it's officially documented and signed by all party leaders to avoid any doubt in the future.
Right, and while they ultimately want Anwar to become prime minister, they insist that Pakatan needs Tun M to retake Putrajaya. It's also worth noting that DAP organizing secretary Anthony Lok said that even if Tun M breaks his promise, Pakatan can force him to resign. All it takes is for them to withdraw their support and trigger snap elections.
So I think it's worth highlighting, regardless of how you feel about the situation, which, you know, I'm sure people are really riled up about right now.
Riled up or just tired, honestly.
Yeah, one of those two. But there is a black and white deadline this time around, and I think that's very important to note. You know, could we just start with a fresh face like what some analysts have been saying? Yeah, sure. But I think that this thing has gone on for so long that it would be disappointing that if it ended up wrong. And I think it's honestly important that Tun M does hand over the mantle properly to Anwar this time around, because, you know, I don't think we want this to crop up 10, 20 years down the road and some other politician starts using political martyrdom, right? Saying, you know, because this didn't end correctly, we're continuing Anwar's struggle. And I don't think that's something I want to hear personally in the future. So I think it's just better if everything is just ended on the right note and ends properly for the sake of the political landscape in the future.
Yeah, though I think maybe there is a reason why it needs to be one of the two, right? Because it seems that on Perikatan's end, the strongest candidates they have are likely Datuk Sri Najib Razak or Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So I think where it works out is you need contenders just as strong as they are. So maybe that's why a fresh face just can't be put up yet. But at the same time, there is this desire for new faces, right? In some parts and some segments of the voter, in some voters, right? Because, well, it's been these characters for so long, perhaps it's time for us to move on. Though it just doesn't seem like we can move on at any point yet. It does seem that for now, this is the cards that we have. And so long as in these political parties, they choose to continue to only empower those with the most influence, that's the state of the candidates will have and receive at this point in time.
Right. And, you know, on that note, if we look at all the young politicians, they themselves are embroiled in this question between Anwar and Tun M, and it seems that no one can move on till it's resolved. Is it an issue of their egos? I think so, to a big extent, right? Neither, I think on one hand, Tun M doesn't want to end his political career on a sour note by being kicked out. And on the other hand, Anwar doesn't have the patience to wait again and again and again. And I think that's understandable. But as painful as it is, I just think that I need to see this end properly. This really is a political saga that I can't imagine in any other country. It really is a Star Wars of politics. And if the saga doesn't end correctly, then I think it's going to be a real sticking point in the future.
Yeah, for sure. And at this point in time, it's more important than ever that we do have a strong opposition. And I think they need to get get things together, right? Otherwise, you know, what's going to happen? Who's going to keep Breakathon in check? And this isn't to say that, well, because someone voted for, say, DAP or Pakatan or whatever, that, oh, that's why you're interested in it. No, I think in general, we just have to have a very strong opposition. We need to be interested in Breakathon being able to perform their best, you know, whether or not there are agreements or disagreements in the way in which they came into power. But you can let us know what you think. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to cross over to Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, for her thoughts. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:14 on the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hezriel, and we're talking about the struggles in Pakatan Harapan Plus. And we're now going to talk a bit more about the unwillingness, I guess, this impasse that the opposition coalition is facing when it comes to choosing a prime minister. So we're now crossing over to Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Good evening. Lovely to be here.
Does having a succession plan in black and white actually make a difference, considering all the baggage?
I think that on one level it's different in that they do have a key timeline and they have specific roles that have been set, which have been much more discussed and hammered out. But the fact is that there are threefold problems, and that, as you mentioned earlier, there's no agreement on this agreement. There's a lack of trust among the parties, and I think it's not just about egos. I think it's also about strategies, different strategic differences that they have. And the third thing is that they've failed to keep their differences inside the tent, and this, and they're mobilizing around their differences in the public. And of course, this is damaging the opposition, and also creating a lot of anger among a lot of the people who voted for them. And I think it's going. You know, they don't see a common color. You know, they do see these things in black and white. One is black and one is white, and they both, and that's a problem.
So, why do you think that DAP and Amana are insisting that Tunem is crucial to reclaiming Putrajaya?
I think it has to do with a number of issues. First, I think it had to do with the numbers. I think that they are, you know, Mahathir did have the numbers. Anwar never had them in terms of a majority. This because of the Warasan, other players who might have moved over. Now neither side have them, of what's happened as a result of the negotiations and the open display of conflict. But I think it's not just about taking back Putrajaya. I think that there are different motivations and the strategic decisions that they're making. You know, there is a common goal that they all want to stop the erosion of reform, stop the reforms that have actually been eroded. They also share the goals of wanting to address rule of law. But I think they differ on the issue of the appeal and the strength of the government. They see Mahathir as having more appeal among the Malay ground and will make the government stronger in terms of being able to secure a larger majority. And I think that larger majority would be necessary if they wanted to have the government or get the government without elections. And I think they are still a risk, even if they came together and reached some sort of compromise, that the snap elections would be called.
Right. Ideally, at this point in time, what should the role of Pakatan Plus be? Is it to get back into power? Is it to become a strong opposition to Pakatan?
I think this is one of the issues that they're divided on, right? I think that many are driven by wanting to get into office, get back into office to address the things that they didn't do and to stop the things they think that are getting worse. But the fact is that they're so concentrated on these power and political games and politicking that they're actually not doing a good job of raising the issues of that opposition does, or giving the public a rationale of why they should be supporting them in the sense that they're not presenting themselves as alternatives. They're just saying, we're just not those in power. And that's not necessarily enough to win, especially the support of the middle ground, who are frustrated with the intensive politicking.
So do you think that PH is inching closer towards resolving the longstanding issue of succession planning, or are snap elections needed, for instance, to perhaps force an agreeable outcome?
Well, I think, you know, we can see this situation as a glass half full or half empty. The positives are that they've been having very difficult conversations, and that the evidence of that difficulty is how they've come out into the open. You can see the intensity of the kind of the attacks on each other, and I think these are issues and conversations that they needed to have in order to break the stalemate, which contributed to them being kicked out of power in February. And so the negotiations and conversations are continuing. So this is a positive interpretation. The more negative side of it is that I think that there has been a stalemate along the way in terms of these conversations, and there's been a breakdown of trust. And I think that it'll be difficult to create a framework that actually that could be easy to move towards elections. It's not even clear that Mahathir would actually contest again in this process. And I think that what would happen if there is elections that are called, it ultimately would end up being a process that is actually not driven by setting a campaign, but more driven by what the results come out of those elections in that process.
In your view, how likely are we to see snap elections this year?
I'd say about 60%. I think that the Pakatan problems have kind of eased the pressure on the Muhyiddin government in the sense that he has a few extra numbers to be able to pass bills. And I think that this government would like to hold on as long as it can without having to have polls. I think the pressure is coming from UMNO. That pressure comes from a sense of wanting to portray to its grassroots that it's powerful, that it's not really fully in supporting everything. So it's a sort of strategic kind of manifestation of position to the public. But it's also, at the same time, I would say a reality that UMNO believes that it is the strongest party and it would come out with higher numbers if it went to polls.
So on that note, is there anything to take away from the fact that neither PAS nor Bursatu have pushed as hard as UMNO for snap polls?
Well, look, I think that PAS is very high. They have had the most positions they've had in federal government. They're getting more GLC and other administrative appointees by the day at low seams. They're quite happy with what they have. And I think they would also are resistant to having a very powerful UMNO because that might be able to take away some of the power that they do have at this particular point of time. Bursatu, it's clear they've not resolved the seat negotiations and their positions vis-a-vis UMNO and PAS, even though there's been conversations and discussions along those lines. It cannot survive on its own, I think, and without some sort of alliance, clear alliance, and the lack of three-corner fights. And even then, it's an electoral struggle for Bursatu. So I think that there is reluctance on the part of Bursatu and PAS, more so than UMNO, in terms of issues of elections.
Could you help us understand the unique selling points of each of the Perikatan parties, now that all of them seemingly represent large chunks of Malay interests?
How much is theirs and how much is others is something that is going to be tested in the Chini by-election, for example, or in other elections that are even more competitive. I think, PAS projects itself as the defender of the faith. UMNO projects itself as the protector of the Malays. And UMNO and Bursatu projects itself as the wannabe protector of the Malays. And Bursatu, a.k.a. Mahathir, projects himself as the real protector of the Malays. So, the reality of how much protecting and defending they're doing is not so clear. But these are the kind of things and markers that they're using to identify themselves with. And the problem becomes is that as they merge together, the clarity of this actually vis-a-vis each other, because they're dealing with the same electoral group, becomes unclear. And this is where, in fact, three-corner fights or the party's not able to control the alternative members who want to contest will be a challenge for these parties. And of course, they're all they push themselves and define themselves as not the DAP or not Harapan. And so, again, like Harapan is doing, they're actually projecting and identifying themselves as something other than themselves. So they're not necessarily promoting themselves so clearly when they're working together. So in this collaboration,
what would an election solve then?
Well, I think there are a few positives, and I think that there are some concerns. The positives for an election are that there would be a fresh mandate, and I think that this would force different actors to work together in a different set of ways. I think ultimately it would also probably lead to different leadership. I think it's unlikely that Muhyiddin will be able to come back if his party is the smallest party after a fresh elections, although I'm sure that would be part of any agreement, but whether or not that is maintained in those agreements is another story. I think the fresh elections would also push some, as you mentioned earlier, Pakatan Harapan to try to resolve some of the problems that they have and the stalemates and the different strategic choices that they're making. But most importantly, the election would also force these parties to stop focusing on themselves and being more accountable to the electorate and looking to the people and recognizing that they are actually have a lot of power. And I think this might lead to some better policies and at least some more engagement, which has not been happening across the political divide at this particular point.
Richard, on that note, thank you so much again for those insights.
You're most welcome. Have a good evening.
You too. You just heard Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, talking to us about the conversations evolve, right, to political developments overall, but really we're also talking about that unsolved question about whether it's Tun M or Dato' Sri Anwar between the choices that Pakatan Plus has to deal with as a prime minister candidate. You can, of course, send us your thoughts. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
We now have a call from a listener. Lan, what are your thoughts? Good evening, first of all.
Hi. I would like to make a specific comment on the GAP's proposal for so-called mechanism to be enforced the moment that Mahathir refused to resign. To me, such a proposal is incredible because to me it is completely unrealistic and not feasible to be done for a number of reasons. Number one, from the trust perspective, in the sense that you are saying that the position of Prime Minister is a position of play. The moment Mahathir refuse to resign, then we will then give him a warning that we will call for a snap election. At least that there is a play among the opposition parties. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't work well with the public, number one. Number two, do you think that GAP will ever do that? I don't think so. Because the opposition now, they are, to me, at the weakest point of face an election. What more if they were to do that and then come to an election to say that, and people will be frustrated. Hey, look, we give you the power, and after a tussle among yourself, you come back wasting the government resources and for an election. And if they were to do that, what's the coalitions? There will be DAP, Amana, and PKR, and they don't have enough support to win back the public. Right. So, to me, the proposal put forth by DAP is a lip service at best. It's so unrealistic to me.
So, right. So, what do you think is a good solution?
Well, a good solution is basically for the political as a nation of a whole or for the opposition. As a nation of a whole, I would say that snap elections. For the opposition, I think I think people are quite tired with either Tun or Anwar probably looking some fresh candidates that they could offer that would give a fresh breath of air and aspirations, they call it themselves Pakatan Harapan, but what hope is there when you want to rely on somebody who is 95 and 72 and the struggle can keep on repeating by itself, the sequel of that and this and that. It's very tiring actually to follow the opposition politics, but the solution for the nation is not election. For the opposition itself, it's basically to offer a new candidate. That's what I think.
Right. Len, thanks for your thoughts so much. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting. I think, again, the general consensus is that there's a lot of tightness, you know, just coming from witnessing the politics of the opposition. That's also what we're getting from Kevin on WhatsApp as well. And, you know, the silver lining here is that, I don't know if it's a silver lining. The silver lining for me is that it's quite transparent, that we can see what's happening. There's a lot of parts of the political machinery that we don't usually get to see. Specifically, I think we don't see as much of that with Breakatan. You know, they're a lot better with keeping it together, keeping it under the tent, as Bridget said earlier. But that's about it. Right? For me, it's interesting to be able to witness it, although sometimes it comes at the expense of our well-being. Right? You can continue sending in those messages. You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.